Charting Toward Intimacy covers mature topics. Listener discretion is advised.
What does it actually look like practically to live out marital chastity? When we learn to embrace what chastity really is and not the misconception that chastity just means abstaining from sex, then we can really dive deeper into the rich and abundant grace that is available to us through the sacrament of marriage and ultimately through the marital act. That is what we are digging into in today's episode. Welcome to Charting Toward Intimacy, the sex and intimacy podcast for Catholic women. My name is Ellen Holloway, and I am a Catholic speaker and coach who specializes in sex and marital intimacy. And I am on a mission to help you actually enjoy and desire good, holy sex with your spouse. So today we are talking about chastity. I have with me my amazing semi-regular co-host, Kathleen. Let's get into it. All right, let's talk about chastity.
Huh? Chastity!
About a year ago. I know, honestly, it is. Chastity is so good. We have an episode where we like really opened up the catechism and just like broke down what chastity is about a year ago. I believe it's just called chastity. So you can go look that one up.
Go look it up in the archives.
It's a good one. Today we're just going to, I think we're going to hit more the practical side of chastity and just really what living out chastity looks like within marriage. But we are going to pull one quote from the catechism because you can't talk about chastity.
How could you not? Yeah.
You can't talk about chastity without this quote, paragraph 2348. I actually, fun fact, already had a bookmark on this page of my catechism. That's how important this quote is.
It's like she goes back to it all the time. She reads it every night before she goes to bed.
I just meditate on it. That's not actually true. But I do reference it often. Okay. 2348. All the baptized are called to chastity. The Christian has put on Christ, the model for all chastity. All Christ's faithful are called to lead a chaste life in keeping with their particular states of life. At the moment of his baptism, the Christian is pledged to lead his affective life in chastity. So what that affective, I actually just recently got a solid definition of what that means. The affective part of your life is your like passions, your desires, your affective desires. And so what that final sentence is saying is you're leading those affective desires, those instant thoughts, those passions, you're leading them toward chastity, right? You're not always indulging in those passions, but you're directing them in the direction that they should go in.
Yeah.
All the baptized are called to chastity.
Hashtag all the baptized. That honestly is just so important. And this is slightly a tangent comment, but like that is so important. Because in the culture we live in today, right, like there can just be this like, oh, well, how come they can, but I can't in certain situations, right? And it's like, no, that's not what we're looking at. We are looking at every single person being called to chastity, however that is played out through your personal calling, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's through marriage, maybe it's not. Right? Like, who knows? But regardless, chastity is a reality for every single person. It is a call for every single person. Doesn't matter your vocation, right? Or your preferences. It doesn't matter. You are all called to chastity.
And I think this is where we get hung up on chastity, is just a true lack of understanding what chastity means, because I just so commonly see this like, we're supposed to remain chaste before marriage, and then we're supposed to remain chaste when we're trying to avoid pregnancy, and those are the only two times when we're trying to remain chaste. And that's not true. Like, remaining chaste does not mean not having sex. You can be absolutely fully practicing chastity and having sex with your husband. That is an absolute chaste way to be a human in a healthy married sexual relationship. Like,
yes,
that's so that's that line in that quote. I mean, there's just like this, it's this like four sentence little paragraph, but there's so much in it. All Christ faithful are called to lead a chaste life in keeping with their particular states in life. Mm-hmm. So a married woman is called to practice chastity within the sexual relationship of your marriage, because your marriage is a sexual relationship. It's designed to be a sexual relationship. That is the chaste way to live out your marriage, is to have a sexual relationship.
Right.
Now, somebody's going to at me and be like, talk about Josephite marriages. That's like super duper rare. That means that the couple chooses not to have sex with each other. You have to get permission from your bishop to do that. Mm-hmm. The permission is few and far between. It's rare. But like, that's a different form of chastity that couple is living out, and they are called to that different form of chastity, right? Priests, religious, they are called to they're called to chastity. They're called to the same chastity that Christ had.
Yeah.
The same chastity, right? I feel like I said that wrong, that it's like a different chastity. It's all the same chastity. It's lived out particularly for your situation, right? So chastity for priests, chastity for religious looks like no sex, right? Not having a sexual relationship. Chastity for married couples is having sex, right?
Well, and let's also talk about like the fact that chastity is, it's sexual purity, right? Like that's, so how can that, you know, how can we be unchaste within our sexual relationship, right, in marriage? Let's talk about one spouse pressuring the other into intercourse when they're not either feeling it, they're not ready for it, they have some anxiety over it, right? Like that is unchastity, right? That is not pure. That's not a pure sexual relationship. Yeah, like I'm trying to think of like more examples. There was another example.
No, I love that. I think it's really all about those, the four aspects of married love, the free, total, faithful, and fruitful.
Yes, exactly.
When we are living chastely, we're hitting on all four of those parts, right? So using contraception is not living chastely. Pulling out like, you know, oral sex to the stimulation of the man to orgasm outside of the vagina, that is not living chastely, right? These are grasping at sexual pleasure when it is not, you know, outside of the context of a full sexual act, right?
Yes.
Like masturbation, those things are unchaste. They are outside of the purity of the sexual relationship, because what is the sexual relationship? It is imaging God.
Yeah.
Right. It is imaging the Trinity. It is two becoming one. We're imaging this divine Trinitarian love, this exchange of love. And so we have two humans. We have a man and a woman coming together freely of their own volition. They're coming together totally. They're giving a full self gift to each other.
Yeah.
They're coming together faithfully in a permanent relationship, because God is eternal. So if we're going to image God, it has to be pretty darn permanent.
Yeah.
They're coming together faithfully toward each other, and they are always leaving that relationship open to the creative will of God, right? That's the fruitful aspect. And that creative will of God might look like a child. That creative will of God might look like abundant grace. It's going to look like, maybe it's going to look like both, right? Yeah. You know, fruitful can mean more than just a child. I think we focus a lot on the child aspect. Like every single one of your sexual encounters should be fruitful, right? It's fruitful in bringing you closer together, right? When you're coming together freely, totally, faithfully. It's fruitful in, it bears fruit in the life that you have, right? A beautiful, healthy marriage just bears fruit in the world, right? Just people see a healthy marriage. That sexual relationship builds on that healthy marriage.
Yes, perfect. I think it's so true. I'll divert slightly. My husband and I personally had never learned more about what it means to practice chastity. I want to talk about practicing chastity, right? Mm-hmm. And because we do have women who listen to this podcast that aren't married yet.
That's true.
Right. So let's address.
You're welcome to be here.
Exactly. Welcome. We love having you here. But let's talk about that for a second. Like this, like practicing chastity, right? And how hard it is before marriage. And oftentimes we look at chastity before marriage as this thing that like will come to an end on our wedding day, right? But mm-hmm. we need to squash that, because here's the reality: it does not ever end, which is why we call it practicing chastity. Because you mm-hmm. know what's harder than not having sex when you're not married is not having sex when you are married. Right?
Suddenly, so, it's an available thing to do.
It is licit. There's no like mental,
but it's off the table,
you know,
for some reason, right? Right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So really, truly, you know, there's this practicing element that is so important before marriage that we all need to change the. We need to change like our viewpoint on it from like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm practicing it now and it will end, to no, I'm practicing it now because it won't end, right?
Well, and let's talk about and that practicing, it continues through marriage, because ultimately, mm-hmm. like, let's go back to the quote we just said. The Christian has put on Christ the model for all chastity. So where are we ultimately going to perfectly live out chastity?
Yeah.
In heaven, right? Mm-hmm. Our life here on earth is practicing chastity for heaven. Heaven is where we are going to live it up with chastity. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, heaven's going to be all chaste, it's going to be boring. No, it is not. Like, mm-hmm. true chastity is incredible. I mean, the relationship that Jesus and Mary had, I like to ponder that sometimes, of just the incredible depth, friendship, love, and yearning for communion that Mary and Jesus had. Like, what a cool relationship. And no, don't put like the sexual aspect into it. Like, don't do that. That's weird, right? If anybody went there. Like, we're talking about the communion of persons, right? And what's ultimately going to be in mm-hmm. heaven. And our married relationships are little glimmers of that. They're helping us understand like the depth of that relationship, right? But like Mary and Jesus on earth, they were the two humans that like ultimately lived out a chaste relationship perfectly. And like that relationship was so full of depth and communion and beauty and love. Mm-hmm. Like, how cool was that relationship?
Yeah.
But really quick, before we get on with the rest of the episode, I just wanted to ask you that if this podcast has blessed you in any way, or you've learned something from this podcast, would you please rate and review this podcast? The reviews in particular really help people find this podcast and benefit from it. So I would be so grateful if you would rate and review the podcast. Let's turn more practically now mm-hmm. into, okay, we're practicing chastity, right? We're humans. We're humans here on earth. We are practicing chastity. We're practicing it within our marriage. And so what does that look like when sex is off the table?
Yeah.
Because this can be really hard.
This can be really, really hard. And I'm going to answer this question first by telling you what it should not look like. Because
yes,
your girl learned the hard way, okay, what it does not look like or should not look like. So, I mean, it became like the regular that early on in our marriage, when I was, you know, in my like fertile phase or unsure because I was still figuring out charting and all this kind of stuff, and I was trying to be cautious, I thought that it would be easier for my husband if I just took a step away. Mm. Right? That like the closer I was to him, the more tempting it was, therefore the harder it was to practice chastity during like our fertile phase, right? That was very, very, very wrong. And that caused years of hardship and resentment. So what does chastity look like? Especially, let's talk specifically about when you're avoiding and avoiding pregnancy and you're fertile. It does not look like stepping away from your husband until it's all over, mm-hmm. right? Like, there need to be ways that you continue to pursue him and to connect with him. every couple in this sense is completely different, right? Like there are couples that love the idea of pulling out the board games and just spending a night doing that. And there are couples that say, do not ever talk to me about a board game when I could be having sex. Like, don't do it. That's my husband.
You,
he's like, what's better?
We love board
sex
games.
Or board games. Come on. Like, you know, he's like, don't talk to me about board games. So, but it could be, maybe it's board games. Maybe it's just like diving into a show or a movie together. Maybe it's those date night boxes. You guys ever see those date night boxes, right?
Yeah, like, those are cool.
Those are cool, right? Like, so doing some, there's like murder mystery ones that are kind of fun, you know, like, maybe it's a date night box. Maybe it's pulling out the Gottman card deck app. Right? Some of the super spicy ones stay away from. They're basically all about masturbation. Kind of weird.
Yeah.
but you don't even have to do the sexy ones, right? Just do like the deep, intimate, personal relationship ones, right? The ones about our dreams and our future, right? Like pulling those out for a night, having a glass of wine and just talking to each other, right? Like getting deeper with each other emotionally. Maybe it looks like working on a project together. Maybe it's going, just taking date night, you know what I mean? A couple times that week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say like there's one way to do this and one way not to. I will tell you what I did for my husband not that long ago when I was in my fertile phase. I called my mom. We were kind of like on a financial lockdown. It was like we are spending as little money as possible this month. And so I didn't want to like go out to dinner or something, but it was very clear we needed time together and we needed time away from the kids and we just needed to be together. So I called my mom and I arranged for her to come watch the kids that night. My husband had no idea. And when he got home, it was like, we're going out. And he was like, where are we going? I was like, don't worry about it. So there is this like parking lot, which sounds weird. But it's near our house.
How old are you? Did you just go park with your
husband? We did. We literally went to go park. But here, we have this like big like GMC Yukon, right? Like the XL, because we got five kids. So I had vacuumed the whole thing out earlier in the day. I laid down all the back seats and I set it up with like blankets and pillows and a bottle of booze, which was completely illegal because we were in a car. Some chips, hey,
as long
like
as
snacks
the keys are not in the ignition, that's not a DUI.
Well,
if the keys are in the ignition, then yeah, you can't be drinking. But
then yeah,
if
you
the
can't
keys
be
are out of the ignition, you're good to go.
Yeah, but I did this whole thing. So the parking lot is like right next to this river, and you know, it's like to access like our DNL trail or you know whatever. But it was great, and we just went and we parked. And we drank some like margarita mix and we had some snacks and we just talked. We like made out. Like it was just great for like, you know, a couple hours. And it was like nothing else is happening, right? Like but it was just the time to be together, right? And and I have found that with my husband, it's not even about not being able to have sex, but it was that stepping away that I did for so long thinking it would be easier that just caused so much damage for us, right? So it's like still, he's like, I don't care if we can't have sex as long as we're still connecting, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's a really
important
thing.
That's the key for when sex is off the table. For whatever reason that is, right? Maybe you're trying to avoid pregnancy. Maybe there is a health issue. Maybe sex is off the table for a longer amount of time. Maybe you just had a baby, right? And sex is off the table for that. What we need to recognize is that sex is a fruit of a deeply intimate relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And intimacy does not equal sex.
Right.
Intimacy actually comes before sex. You need to be intimate with each other prior to even being comfortable opening up in that very, very vulnerable way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what you need to focus on during that fertile, like the biggest example here is trying to avoid pregnancy during that fertile window. We're looking at, I don't know, 10 to 14 days, right?
Yeah.
What you need to focus on, what you and your spouse need to focus on at that time is intimacy.
Yes.
Getting to know each other, right? We love the five love languages here. focus on the love languages. And something that's so important, please go back and listen to the episode. This is just from a few episodes prior to this one, called Sex is Not a Love Language. Like, if your spouse's love language is physical touch, that does not mean that their love language is sex. Yeah. It's sex is separate from the love language of physical touch.
Right.
And so, like, what Kathleen was saying was, like, I hear this a lot from couples who are like, oh my gosh, during the fertile window, like, we just have to separate. I hear that some couples sleep in separate beds during the fertile window.
Yikes. Yeah.
Somebody sleeps on the couch or, like, in the guest room or something like that. And they do that because it's like, oh my gosh, otherwise, like, we just, like, he can't keep his hands off me. I can't keep my hands off him. We can't keep our hands off each other. Like, if that is what is happening, you guys need to practice chastity. You are not integrating chastity into your sexual relationship. Like, if there is no possible way for you to sleep in the same bed and not, like, arouse each other sexually, if that's not possible for you, then I need you to go back to 2348 in the catechism, and I want you to read the whole section on chastity, and I need you to bring that to the Lord. Because chastity is not currently present in your sexual relationship, and it needs to be.
Yes.
If that's the case, right? If it is too hard for that, right? So, and I started to say this because, like, somebody who feels really loved through physical touch, if you are separating from each other for that fertile window, suddenly love has just been removed from their life. Like, you're like removing love from your marriage. And so continue to touch each other, right? Continue to hold hands and hug and kiss and, you know, put your arm around their shoulder if you're watching a TV show, or sit close next to each other so your legs are up against each other. That is still perfectly chaste for a married couple to do at any time.
But I will say that make your current state, make it known, right? Like, don't, like, you have to communicate, though, right? Like, make it, okay, listen, I, you know, entered my fertile phase today. Like, I'm in my fertile phase. So, you know, like, sex is off the table, but, like, let's snuggle, let's make out, let's, like, do whatever, you know what I mean? Like, whatever you need to do. And also, don't forget that trust is a thing. Again, maybe there are times where you really, truly, seriously have to avoid. And, like, though, like, we are called to prudence in those situations. However, I think for a lot of us, we don't have to be avoiding as much as we want to avoid. So don't consider the, like, oh no, we can't make out because then what if I, you know, what if it, like, goes further and we can't stop? Then, like, praise be to God, you know, like, you're married.
Yeah.
You could do that. And you know what? If a baby comes to it, praise be to God, right? Like, I say this, I've said this before in this podcast, I say it to people all the time. There are times when your marriage needs sex more than you need to not get pregnant. So there might be times, and should be times, in your marriage where you just abandon the NFP rules and put all of your trust in God. Like, those times, I think, are so healthy and renewing for marriages, that it's like, okay, I'm not using this as Catholic birth control, right? Again, this is talking to people who don't have really serious reason to avoid, but that just sort of want to for right now. Like me, right now. I don't have serious reason to avoid. I just kind of want to, right? But this is such an important thing, to give yourself permission to abandon the rules, to feed your marriage, and to grow your trust in God. That is such an important place for us to find ourselves in sometimes. And don't forget that, you know, it's not about following everything perfectly. There's typical use for a reason, right? So, yeah, and you are married. You have permission to do that, right? Like, just follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit and where he's leading you to in each particular moment to truly, you know, practice chastity and avoid, or to feed your marriage in the way God designed it to be fed.
And something I just want to touch on before we close is that I get the question a lot of, like, okay, well, what can we do? What's okay, right? Where's the line? How far is too far? And look, if we're coming at it from that angle, we're just white knuckling our way through the fertile window. And so that's why we haven't talked about the line. We haven't talked about what you can and cannot do, right?
Right.
I mean, a little bit, right? But like, it's more about focus on what's important here. And the, intimacy is what is important. Okay. You know that sex is off the table. So that means that you should not be sexually arousing each other. That, like, there's the line if you need a line, right? Sexual arousal should not be happening purposefully, right? Accidental sexual arousal, spontaneous sexual arousal, that's kind of a, that's like a different category, right? Mm-hmm. But then if that's what happens, you should not be following that passion, right? That last sentence, the Christian is pledged to lead his effective life in chastity. And so that effective passion of like spontaneous arousal, that should not be pursued if sex is off the table, right? But like, it's not about looking at the line. It's not about, okay, well, how many minutes can we make out for before we get sexually aroused? No, stop. Stop right now.
That's not even like,
Kathleen's like, I've had that thought cross my head before.
No, that's like, not, you can't even answer that. How many minutes?
Yeah, like right. Let's set a timer for 5 minutes. I don't know.
I don't know.
Stop.
I mean, what kind of things are on your mind?
If that is where your mind is going, stop. Okay. If there is like an action, like this example of making out, that like you're already calculating, like how much of this can we do before we get sexually aroused? Maybe just set that activity to the side too. Cause you're focusing too much on the line and not on the goal, which is intimacy. Right. So focus on the intimacy. Maybe that looks like conversation, right? Kathleen gave a bunch of great examples of those, like those Gottman card decks, going out on date night, just having some time to chat with each other, board games if you like, right? Getting into a TV show. Maybe like dive into the Bible together, right? Read the Bible together, or like a spiritual book, or do a Bible study, or do something on Hallow or Formed. I know a lot of people have access to Formed from their parish. Like there's a bunch of stuff on Formed. You know, so it's not necessarily about like, what can I do and what can't I do? It's put your focus outside of sex. Put your focus on intimacy. How can I grow in deeper intimacy with my spouse right now, today? That should always be your question. Actually, let's just reframe this.
Yeah.
You should always wake up every day. How can I grow in deeper intimacy with my spouse right now? And in doing so, how can I then allow sex to be a fruit of that deep intimacy that my husband and I share, right?
Yep.
Amen. Thanks so much for listening. If you are not already following us on Instagram, be sure to check us out at Charting Toward Intimacy. And if you listen to podcasts on a platform that gives you the option to rate or review, we'd love for you to do that because it helps us spread the word about the podcast. If you ever have questions, comments, or episode topic ideas, please reach out to us. We love to hear from you. You can reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Our email is in the show notes. Until next time.